And you know, as you heard the scripture, you've got to wonder whether this is really the first Sunday in Advent, right? I mean, there is all kinds of gloom, you know. There will be signs, the sun will start getting dark and the moon won't shine, and the stars and the earth and the nations will be afraid. The seas will just, I mean, well, that's it, right? Anyway.
Half and half makes a whole.
There are these terrible, terrible end time visions that are put upon us. And we know what it means when the scripture says, and the seas will roar, right? We've seen pictures on TV where the sea level rises by 10 meters, and that's 30 feet, and it just roars down onto the city. So that's the kind of picture that we get on the first Sunday in Advent. You know, and we say, well, give me a break, God. Isn't this the time when we should be expecting, and we should be happy, and we should be joyful, and expecting the Christ child to come? So it feels strange at the opening of this Christmas season, does it not? And even if we remember that Advent is the time for contemplation and repentance in preparation for remembering Christ's birth, are such drastic and difficult images really necessary for us today? But you know, then when we think about the witness of our scriptures, we might agree that this confusion of endings and beginnings in our gospel text today is really characteristic of our biblical witness. There are always endings and there are always beginnings all through the scriptures, from the first book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. It's almost like imagining the life of faith as sitting on a swing. You know, in that brief moment, when you're at the top of the swing, the one swinging really doesn't know whether she or he is completing the swing, or whether he's starting another downswing, or whether he's just sitting up there. So it's at that particular moment we are in between two swings. In between, like a moment out of time. Our Bible speaks about time in many different and instructing texts. For instance, in our passage from Jeremiah today, the prophet proclaims his vision of a reunited and prosperous people. And he does that at a time when there's turmoil and intrigue and all kinds of oppression present in among the people in Israel. There were many voices in Israel who advocated expediency over faithfulness to Jobbik. Let's do what they ask us to do rather than be faithful. That's the kind of voices that Jeremiah was fighting when he made this prophecy. And Jeremiah prophesied that God promised to be faithful to God's people, and that God promises sure, even at a time of material defeat. God's faithfulness will yet be written in the hearts of God's people. When they redirect themselves to follow the ways of life God has given them, then a new covenant will be written in their hearts, despite their fears and despite their desolation. So here in Jeremiah's prophecy, God is relentlessly and ever faithful. So as the church turns to the Gospel of Luke on this first Sunday in Advent, we are maybe hoping for another story of the origin of Jesus from David's line, right? At the first of Advent. But not so, my friends, not so. It's not coming that way. Instead, with our eyes on the face of Jeremiah, we are taken to the end, to the very, very end, to right before the plot to kill Jesus unfolds. That's what our gospel is written in. That's the time. It's a passage in which Jesus does not speak of his first coming at all, but of his second coming, at the end of the age, And our Lord tells us not just to prepare, but to beware. To beware, be alert, be aware. No city sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. None of this here in this gospel from Luke today, right? Here we hear Jesus speak of more threatening signs of prophetic significance. Distress among nations. Confusion because of the roaring of the seas piling in on the beaches. Even the powers of the heavens are to be shaken, and people will be fainting for fear and foreboding. And it is then, he said, at the height of all these terrifying signs, that the people will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, and all the saints will accompany him. And his coming will mark the beginning of the end, but also the end of the beginning. Yeah, and we get it. We get it. Our Luke writes from a deep and ever-growing sense that discipleship to Christ is a living in between, the times of his first coming, the times of his second coming. And we are living in that time, living in between, being aware of Jesus, waiting for Jesus, and coming to know this Jesus for whom we wait in the midst of our unpredictable and eventful and even tumultuous and threatening world. Waiting to stand before our merciful Christ, yet not being at all sure that we know where he is and where we find him. Read the fig tree, he tells us. It tells you when summer is coming. Read the times as you read the fig tree. Stay awake and do not let your hearts be weighed down with things that distract from the truth of it. Wait in the middle of it all, just before the dawn, for in the middle of the night there are strange and redeeming things about. And with all this, the church begins its new year. It is asked to begin afresh and anew, not just as a calendar date, but in our hearts, in our relationships, as a congregation, in our yearning for a promise that is worth living for. And as we hear this message, our Lord calls on us to live lives of faithful and active waiting in the in-between time, because we hear again the name of the one who holds us also at the end of time. So those who would bring gloom as well as progress measure time differently. They would say that the future comes only when the clock moves further to the right. Click, 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 right? And that the past is little more than food for someone's superiority or for some bad feelings among people. But there is a different story time told here today. It's not a time, it's of a time that's bigger than our own lifespan, our own life stories. It's of a time that gives our lives a meaning full of promise that neither optimism nor pessimism can even try to comprehend. It is God's time. God's time full of events and happenings in which we live our lives in a happiness, in which we see all creation come alive in a rhythm of our present day reality and the presence of God. We live in the present day, but we also know that God is with us in our Christ. And we recognize our reality, don't we? Anything can happen at any moment. Tell me about it. And really, everything is happening at any moment. There's absolutely no present moment to which we can cling. Like we can't stay longer than a fleeting moment at the top of the swing. And neither predictability nor control can set limits to change. Change will happen. And we can't control it, and we can't put any limits on it. And yet, my friends, even if we live and participate in our time of happiness, we recognize that there are some indivisible connections. Connections we are powerless to break between how we live in our reality and what values we live by. And the limits of these connections are never exactly defined. We oscillate between worldliness and faithfulness. Some moments feeling strong in faith, and other moments ignoring our faith values and being overwhelmed and giving in to temptations that assail us. And there are other factors, other realities at work that sometimes overwhelm us, realities of brokenness in our lives and our hearts, evil surrounding us in our world, and we don't have to look very far to find that, touching our lives. We live in this world, and this world is in many ways an evil and a sinful world, and we live in it, and we can't get out of it, even if we try. We are part and parcel of the sinful world. We are sinful in this world. There's political realities of making falsehood outright lies now to truth in our lives. You know, well, I don't want to talk about politicians. If I start that, I never end. But the economic and social realities that allow the strong to oppress and the weak to oppress the weak, and that leave millions on the road seeking asylum and lives free from political and economic oppression, that's the reality today. But 500,000 people, 50,000, I forget how many people are gathering at the US border in order to find a better life, to be able to have an income, to have work, and then we are going to be greeted with barbed wire. Instead of trying to fix the problem, we are going to say, man, get out of here, we don't want you. But then, my friends, there are also realities of faith discovery, serendipity, and grace. Night bulbs are popping up in the hearts and minds of the faithful at worship and at the table of the Lord, discovering the true love of God for us given in Jesus our Christ. And so, every present moment is an event for us, an event worth living, because it's a gift to us. It's a beautiful gift. We can shape that moment. We can shape every moment of our lives into a beautiful thing or into a thing that causes division and distrust and hatred among each other. Every moment is a gift that God gives us, and we decide what to do with it. We can only receive it, accept it with thanksgiving, trust the promise that lies behind it, and pray for the strength to do what is necessary to fill it with faithfulness, to fill it with faithful and trusting and active waiting for God. So this is no time for nostalgia or for pie-in-the-sky dreaming, but neither is it a time for resignation, to oppression, or to our failures, and no overestimating of our strength and our virtue. Let's be realistic of who we are. Let's acknowledge that we are part of the sinful world and that we need Christ to save us. Remember, Christ has come to save sinners. And so we must acknowledge to God and before all each other that we are indeed sinners. That's why we have confession. That's why we seek the forgiveness that Jesus has for us. So Advent is the time to let real hope abound and real love in Jesus Christ, and to live in our reality according to the promise that the one who was born our Lord and Savior, and who lived and gave his life for us, will hold us in his love until he comes again to complete God's time and to complete God's kingdom. We already have one foot in it, but not yet. It's going to be when Jesus comes again. And it's the present, and he is Jesus, present in our reality to lead us on our way. The Holy Spirit is there. We got it. That still small voice, it's there. The Word wants to drown it out, but we can hear it, and we really listen. And we pray, make it so, dear Lord. Make it so for all of us. Amen. And thanks be to God.